Welcome to the Pure Bliss Show with Mema Carmo. This is where we'll inspire you to transcend, transform, make magic, live your soul purpose, and be the unicorn that you truly are. Live in pure bliss.
Hi, everyone. It's Mema here, and you're on the Pure Bliss Show. Today, I have a wonderful friend of mine, Violette Diayala. She's the founder and president of Them City. She began this business as a side project with some of her friends, and it's now blossomed into a nationwide organization connecting female entrepreneurs and inspiring them to live their best life. Violette, welcome to the Pure Bliss Show. So I love saying your name because it sounds so sexy when you say it. When I say Violet, it sounds like Violet. When you say it, it sounds something so exotic. Can you say it for me, please?
Yeah, so originally my birth name is Violeta Maria Moreno de Ayala. And then,
oh my God.
So I know. I told my dad when I changed my name legally to shorten it, I told my dad, I'm like, it's just too long. And he was so upset because he goes by Antonio Maximilian Moreno de Ayala. Like, he goes the entire thing. And so he was like, why don't you? I'm like, Dad, it's just, it's a lot. And so it's Violet or Violet de Ayala, and it's a lot easier for everyone to pronounce. And then I changed it from the A to the E for some like therapeutic reasons, which we could do on another show. but anyway, so, and you know what's so funny is that often it's just V. Like, I think when friends get to know me, it's just too long to write. So they just do the initial V, and that's totally fine too.
I love all of it. And you're so fantastic. So tell me about Them City and how it started and what inspired you to create this organization.
Yeah, and thanks so much for having me on your show. I am so excited for you. And so we started Them City in 2009. It was because I couldn't find anything here in Miami that I felt resonated with what I was looking for. So I would go to all of the networking events. At the time, I was working for the Four Seasons doing PR and marketing for their club and spa. And so I would go to every single networking event, ones that were $100, ones that were $50. And I just grew really frustrated. You know, they were amazing events in production, but the feeling of community was missing. And so I would often tell people, oh my gosh, you should start something for women. Like, I would tell people that all the time, and they would look at me like, why would I start something for women? Because it's needed, you know, because clearly it's needed and you should do that. And then after, I would say about a year of doing that, I said, you know what, I'm just going to start something. It'll be really small. It'll be like 20 friends. And I asked a couple of girlfriends to come together for lunch. I told them what I wanted to do, how it would be cozy and small, and it would be tied to community. And I asked like what they wanted, what they had envisioned. And so we kind of like noodled on it. I said, okay, well, I'm going to have an event. We'll see how it goes. The first event was so boring. It was like, it was 20 women. And it was like, I always say it was like a really bad baby shower. It just had like no games, no nothing. We just kind of sat with like looking at each other like, well, this is lovely, but now what? Second time we did it, I had two guest speakers, and then we started doing these commercials about ourselves, which are now called Femme Pitches. It's who you are, what you do, what you're passionate about, and then an endorsement of another woman anywhere in the world. And that second lunch, we had 60 women. I didn't know, I probably knew maybe four or five. It was enormous. And that's really, you know, I know you love aha moments. So that was really my second aha moment with the birthing of Femme City, where I looked around and it was every age group, height, weight, color of skin, religion, political affiliation, industry, education background. It was the most diverse group ever. And that really just opened up my eyes to the possibility of what could happen. And we did that. I ran the events from 2009 all the way to the end. And towards the end, friends of mine from around the world started looking at the pictures on Facebook. And they were asking me like, oh my gosh, I want one of those. Like, who do I contact to start one? And I was like, well, it was me. Like, you, but why would you want one? Like, I couldn't understand what they wanted. Like, we clearly needed it in Miami, but I didn't understand why Philadelphia would need it or Atlanta would need it. Or Charlotte. And so really after the 30th time, and again, you're going to love this, it's almost like God speaking, you know, saying, listen, you got to wake up. You have 30 women that want this. And you may not know what it is, but you need to kind of respond. And so I finally did that. I said, you know what, I'm going to research it and see what's going on and see what they're really talking about. And Jessica, my business partner, and I, we met actually at Femme City at our second event. And she had a small boutique law firm here in South Florida. And she had already reached out and said, listen, I'd love to be a part of this. I love your vision. We really worked well together already. She was helping me with the filings at Femme City. And we spent about a year, 2010, we spent about a year doing focus groups and asking women around the world, what would it look like? What would it feel like? What do you want? You know, how can we help you? And then at the end of that, we launched our second city. And I honestly, it's not that I thought it would fail. I just didn't think it was going to, I didn't think it was going to do well. You know, I just thought like, I couldn't understand why women wanted it so much. And it did really well in Fort Lauderdale. Then we launched Philadelphia. That was unbelievable. Had the same feel of community, that same spirit of coming together. And then here we are. We're in like 70 plus cities and it still feels magical. And within every city.
You're in how many cities now?
Like, I feel I'm embarrassed because it's more than 70, but I haven't counted yet. So it's like 75, maybe. I don't know. We just added a couple cities. So I have to.
That's incredible. I'm so proud of you. I so am. I mean, I remember hearing about you. I think when I first met or heard about your organization, you were probably maybe like 20 or 30 cities.
Yeah.
And I said, I want to know her. She's a badass. I need to know her. Be around her energy. And I send you the Facebook friend request.
I remember.
Yeah. So how do you do that? So, I mean, some people want to start a business. They'll have the idea and just running a business in one city alone is enough and overwhelming. So how do you start something and duplicate that success, you know, in 70 cities across the country?
That right there was the most difficult thing ever because I owned a Pilates studio before I launched this. I owned a Pilates studio for about 10 years and I had a couple of locations, but they were like satellite locations where we would operate during certain hours, but we, you know, the space was used for other things. But I remember looking at wanting to franchise my Pilates studio and I couldn't. I would meet with the attorney and we would try to figure out how to make it so that it was copyable and duplicatable, which I don't know if is a word, but, and we couldn't do it. And so when I closed that studio, I told myself if I ever launched a business again, it would be something that was not connected to Violet in the sense that I couldn't be everywhere at the same time. And it would have to be something I could just pass on to someone and they could step into the role and take it over. And so that's really where the planning went. And it still is our focus is that how do we make it so that they have training manuals, they have videos, they have webinars. And I work with them to create these communities so it feels the same. And I travel to all of them. You know, I kind of, no one really knows what I look like. And so when I show up, I talk to the femmes and I want to know, like, how are we doing? And it always feels like magic because of the women that run Femme City locally, you know? But I think it's a combination of they have that it factor, that spirit that wants to give back, that wants to make a difference in the world. And it starts locally. And then at the same time, we have the resources to give them everything they need. And then they can own it with their own personality. And then also have that personality of that specific city that also resonates. You know, that's that beautiful recipe that we've created. So that was the hardest. I mean, we paused a lot. It was our story of success was not like, boom, I woke up and here I am, like 70 cities. And, you know, it was a lot of pausing and a lot of mistakes. And, you know, sometimes we had the wrong people on our team, you know, and the worst thing that I could get was a letter from someone saying, I went to a Femme City event and I felt excluded. I didn't feel like I belonged. That is still the worst email or message you could ever send to me because I created it for the opposite effect. I created it for women to come and say, I finally feel like I'm at home. I finally feel like I'm with women that will support me in my future endeavors. So, but that's the hardest part. You know, you have to kind of get that really good balance. How do you create your vision and make it so that you can pass it on to someone without ego, without any kind of self connected to it and allow them to blossom within that?
So they run as independent franchises kind of?
Yep. They run as independent chapters or we call them communities. And, I work with them very closely. I talk to 5 or 6 presidents a day. I travel quite a bit to see them. They are my sisters. You know, a lot of times I feel like I'm like the mamba, you know what I mean? Like the, and I get happy when they grow their businesses, when they grow their revenue, when they have, you know, 2000 women that are growing revenue now too. It's an amazing position that I have now. I feel completely blessed every day for the work that I do.
Yeah, you inspire me. I mean, so you guys, so not only are you doing, because when I first began, I got engaged with Fem City, it was Fem Professionals, and you were doing mostly events. And I understand now you're doing, you know, you have a classroom, you have live and online classes, and you're really teaching women to be empowered to grow their businesses and grow their brands. Tell me, what are some of the things you're offering to women, you know, through your live and online programs?
So I feel like we've evolved with the needs of our community. So when we first started, we just did networking events. That's all we did. And we never called them networking events. We called them connection events because we felt like the word networking really insinuated kind of cold and detached spamming behavior, where relationships are more about connections. And so we really only did that for the first 2 years. When we, I think it was 2012 or 2013, I want to say it was 2012, Google actually reached out to us and said, hey, we want to teach some classes to your femmes, you know, about how to utilize Google Hangouts and what Google Circles are. And so that was a really cool campaign that we did. And they did, they taught classes for our community. And from that, we really started hearing more from them that, wow, this is great, but we need more, you know, and Pinterest had come on board, Yelp, you know, we had a lot more platforms that were coming to life and our femmes were feeling lost and no one was teaching them the classes. And so at that point, we really pivoted away from just the networking events into more creating business workshops for women where they can come and learn about how do you do your own SEO? How do you create a press release? How do you engage on Twitter? You know, classes that really help small business owners to grow because we're busy and we don't have time to read a whole entire book, you know, or to take a 3-hour seminar. How do we do it in 30 minutes? Or how do we do it in kind of time that helps them? So yeah, so now we have online classes. We do Fem City Live and online every Wednesday. It's always on a business trend. We do worksheets. It's almost like we're trying to create a world where everything they need, we have for them.
Right.
Getting the support.
And from what I love about you too is you're doing volunteer work too. You guys are doing work in the community as well as, you know, you're doing nonprofit things as well, not just, you know, business. Tell me about your pre-Valentine's Day event. What was that like? I think you guys helped kids make cards or.
Oh, so beautiful. Yeah. So you know what's so beautiful about Fem City is that we are not a nonprofit, but we really enjoy promoting nonprofits that help women and young girls. And that has been something that we've always done from the beginning. So generally in December, we'll do something that's geared towards raising awareness for a local charity. And then throughout the year, a lot of our communities will select a nonprofit that helps women and young girls there so that it's an ongoing theme. You know, part of the conditioning of our femmes is that not only do we share gratitude to other women around the world, but we also start helping women that are not as fortunate as we are. We pull each other up. So as I get up to a higher level in my vision, I'm pulling up other femmes so that they can get into their higher vision too. So the nonprofit and the charity work is really important. For us personally, you know, we partnered up with Lotus House here in South Florida. It is a women's shelter. It was started by one of my neighbors. It's a beautiful organization. And so they had a Valentine's event this past Valentine's, and I went with my 10-year-old, and we brought, you know, cookie decorations and water, and you were able to dance and help decorate cookies with the kids. And it was just really a beautiful event. And, you know, my daughter was quite upset about their situation. You know, how did they get in that? How can we help them more? And as a 10-year-old, she was able to see, you know, crystal clear that not everybody has the same opportunities and how do we make it so that we can help them even further. It was actually beautiful, beautiful, beautiful experience.
Yeah. I think, you know, beginning a business as well as you have and having a young daughter, one of the things that we often don't talk about, which I like to bring light to, is, you know, being an entrepreneur that's so, you know, you have this passion, but you also have a family at home that you're working to, you know, to raise and take care of. But, and I used to feel sometimes like, you know, my daughter needs to get home and I'm out here speaking and traveling, but I love moments like that when they can see you in action. Mm-hmm. And they can see that and you see them changing because they see that your commitment to helping women is more than, you know, it's more than just about a job. It's about changing people's lives, you know?
Absolutely. So,
you know, tell me, you know, what it's like to build what you build and be a mom. Because you're multitasking all the time.
Like all moms, right? Like we just exactly. never...
With 70 chapters, with 70 communities, right?
You know what? I think that it's been great for, so I have three children. I have one son who's 22, he's teaching English in Germany right now. He's someone who serves, Bianca, my 17-year-old also, she's someone who serves naturally, which is beautiful to see that they've turned out to be productive human beings that want to better the world. And the littlest munchkin is the same. And I think that the reason why they're like that is that they saw me, you know, create business, but also make it a point to give back. And I remember seeing a documentary on the Kennedys, and I remember they had some sort of segment of it that said Eunice Kennedy would always end the day with the children and say, "What have you done today to help the world?" And I thought that was such a great question to ask, you know, ourselves, our children, one another, like, what did you do today? And it can be something small or it can be something bigger, but every small step leads to a bigger movement, you know, and I think that's the biggest gift that I've been able to give my kids, because I see them now being productive human beings, being able to, I mean, my daughter's now raising money for Aleppo with her artwork, and that's something that she did on her own. I didn't even know about it until they presented at the school, you know, where all the teachers were looking at me. I'm like, oh my gosh, I really didn't understand the magnitude of what she created. And so balancing it all, it's just, you know, being present, having those times to be with the kids where I'm off. Scheduling time for myself, that's a whole other kind of topic of, you know, spending time to re-nourish yourself, re-energize yourself, being stable at the core of who you are so that you can serve the world greater and not be depleted. Right. It's been a lot of like dancing between the 2, 3, 4, 8 million roles that we all play. But I think that all women that have children or all women that have other responsibilities with other human beings in their lives, whether it's an aging parent or siblings that they're taking care of, you know, it's kind of like, how do you do that? Along harmony, you know, at the same time.
I think what's powerful about your work is that it really is about service. I mean, you're creating a way to help women, you know, find their bliss, pursue their soul purpose. And, you know, in terms of their entrepreneurship, but it's really about finding their joy. And so you're helping them by giving them these tools to blossom. And so, you know, even though you're working, your kids can see that you're serving other, you're a servant leader, because you're not just in it to make a ton of money, which is always great, but you're doing that while you're helping make the world better. And it's a vital gift to give children, at a young age. My parents, when we came to the United States as refugees, I remember this so clearly. I was 15 years old and I'd come alone at first. My mother was here, that my dad joined later. But once we got settled, they literally got us into church and began volunteering. And I was volunteering in the church and volunteering at some other place. And my part of me that was like scratching my head thinking, we have no money, we're refugees, and why are we volunteering? But it was a huge part of who they were, church and volunteerism. And so, you know, something that I'm so happy about because it's in my blood.
Right.
And I feel like we all have to be citizens that serve the world. That's how we make the world a better place, by giving back, giving forward.
Absolutely. No, and I get chills when you share your story. As you know, I'm one of your biggest fans and biggest cheerleaders, but I think your story,
I'm one of yours.
I think your story is so powerful because anyone in any situation has the opportunity to make someone else's life better. And when we do that, when we put others in our souls, right? It elevates everybody. And I think that's something when you hear people being sad or they suffer from depression or, you know, social media is getting them bummed or down, it's kind of like because we're looking internally too much when we really need to stop and look externally and say, how can we better the world? When we step out of that ego, when we step into service, then all that stuff doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what car you drive or what ring you're wearing or where you live and all those kind of like little silly things. You step out of that and then you realize the world is greater than this item or this physical place where I'm at, you know? And I think that's really the key to happiness. And getting women to create businesses and grow their revenue makes it so they can live a better life. They have choices. They can spend more time with their kids. They have opportunities to travel. So that it's all tied in together for what we do. You know, it's
I really believe that. I feel like service, and I have people who aren't friends I know who are living with depression or mental illness, and I don't want to ever slight that, but I feel like in many ways in life, and I can speak for women who are sick with, you know, living with breast cancer or other challenges, when you start to serve others, mm-hmm. Something shifts within you because you're looking without, not within.
Right.
And I can speak for myself, for one, in the midst of my breast cancer journey, and I was terrified. And I just thought, you know, I can't do this. I'm scared. I'm terrified. But when I began giving to other people is when I began forgetting that I was sick. You know, wow. When I forgot I was sick, then I began to help people. And at some point I was literally out of treatment. I still had challenges. I didn't have perfect days. I had days where I was still throw up and I was still nauseated and I was still, you know, sometimes I was sad, but because I had began something that was helping other people, my attention was more on the outside. Right. And the next thing I knew, it was a year, 2, 3, 4 years later. And so I really feel like service is such a powerful tool, a healing tool. I read a quote by Miriam Wright Edelman. I believe it says, service is the rent we pay for a living. And that's one of the things I live by. And I think like as I watch you and see your story, I feel like it's something that is important to you too, to help women and to help young, you know, children to think about that and to give back.
Yeah. I love that quote. I love it. Yeah, absolutely. I'm speechless because it's so beautiful what you just said. It's so true.
Yeah, it excites me. And so what excites me as well is that when I was preparing for our podcast, I noticed you were up to something new and I'm like, does she ever stop innovating or acting? You just launched an app, a Fem City app. Tell me about that.
So we launched an app, we're launching a publication, and we're launching a Girls Night Out series with a marketplace. So we have a lot going on in 2017.
Oh my God.
You know what? That's why you and I get along so well, because you're the same way. You're like, oh, I'm just going to do this. Boom. And so, the MIMO effect happened to me too. So yeah, so we just launched a podcast, not a podcast, an app, I'm sorry. And on the app, you can find our locations, our upcoming events, you can download our series about business trends, and you can look at pictures. There's a lot you can do on the app. And I'm really excited. We just launched it yesterday. I think it was yesterday. It went like, we just made the announcement. It was either yesterday or the day before. So we're really excited. We already had someone in Finland download it, which we don't have a location there. So
that's amazing. So what can people find on the Fem City podcast?
Our podcast, you know, it's really every week we have a 30-minute class. What I love about it is that we always bring in a teacher, and of course we would love to have you on it, and we go through a topic, you know, for like 15 minutes. So yesterday's was all about the art of influence and the transformational parts of selling, and how do you elevate your mindset so that you can sell your, you know, products and services and make a living and kind of, you know, address the situations that we see over and over again with femmes, you know, launching a business and then kind of not making any money for 7, 10, 20 years. So that was a great class. And then what we do is after 15 minutes of the lesson, we open it up to the students that are live and they can ask questions about that topic. I love it. It's great because, you know, you have it's like a virtual classroom. You have the teacher, there's a lesson plan, and then you have some Q&A at the end. And then we, of course, upload it into our app so that people that weren't able to join us live, they can go ahead and capture that information later. So, I'm excited about it. It's it looks cute, too. It looks really good.
I love it. It's so beautiful.
Thank you.
So you mentioned two other things. You mentioned the app you launched, and there were two other things you said.
Yeah, so we're launching our first series of publications. We're actually going to do a newspaper. It's Fem City Paper. We're launching it in 10 locations this year, and it'll include, it'll feature 5 women that are making a difference locally. It'll include some worksheets. It'll include all of our business members. And it's a small little marketing piece, but we felt it was something that we can do to highlight what's going on locally. And if it does really well, then next year we'll do 30 cities. So I'm excited about that. The branding is just, oh my gosh, our marketing girl has it on point. It's so beautiful. And then with that, we're launching a Girls Night Out series, Sit, Shop, and Support. And proceeds will go to a local charity that helps women and young girls. We have the first one in Rio Grande, and then the second one is in Miami. And that's got 20 vendors. And so again, we're creating an environment where we can help women grow business together so they can sell, you know, their handbags or jewelry, have a good time. It'll have a DJ, music, drinks, and all shopping for a good cause. So that's going to be in 10 cities this year. And if it does really well, then next year we'll do it in 30.
Oh my God. I love you. I want to bottle you up because you're like my twin.
So I know. We're very similar.
Talk offline about my other ventures. I have all these things I'm launching the next couple of weeks. Like, it's insane. I always say, oh my God, I have too much to do. And then I have an idea and I start doing something new. I'm like, I can't stop myself. You know?
No, it's good. Let it all pour out of you. You've got awesomeness in there. Yeah, that's great.
I love it. So I was going to ask you a question, but I just had a chemo brain. So who's managing all these things? So there are people who are listening to the podcast who I want to take away certain things, because I often hear things like people tell me, I don't know how you do it all. Oh my God, listening to you makes me tired. Or, oh my, you know, or I really want to, but I can't, or I'm scared. But so you haven't launched one or 10 or 20, you've launched 70 different communities across the country. You have a podcast that's already being, you know, downloaded, you know, across the globe. You have you launching the paper, you're launching, you have online learning and in-person learning, you have events, and you're launching the series that in the in-person series. How are you managing these things? And how can somebody who wants to take over the world in their neck of the woods, as an idea, create these things where they can manage them effectively, efficiently, and monetize them?
It all goes down to vision. And I'm going to share a little story. And I read it in a book, and I can't remember which book it was. So I apologize for that. But it's an example that I read years ago, and it really helped me to do all these things. So if you use an example of Betty and Anna, Betty and Anna start business the same day, the same time, the same product, same price point, same kind of branding, same demographic, same everything. They both start that business at the same time. But Betty says, you know what? I have kids. I only want to do this on the side. I just want to do little cupcakes. You know, I'm just going to do like the PTA meetings. That's all I want to do. Anna says, you know what? I want these cupcakes in every Whole Foods, Costco, Publix, Winn-Dixie, all around the world. I want these to be every celebrity's favorite. That's what I want. So the two women start off business. They have the same amount of money. They're both raising kids. Everything exactly the same. But the vision is going to be the thing that makes it different. And after 2-3 years, you go back and Betty is still, you know, exhausted, tired. The kids are driving her crazy. She's got flour all over her face. She's been baking for the PTA. And then you see Anna, and Anna is in the bakeries and she's starting to get into all the magazines and the newspapers. It's the same amount of work, the same amount of beginnings, but the vision is what makes it different. And so I didn't grow up with a silver spoon. I mean, you know, my story is my mother's a drug addict and, you know, she suffers from mental illness. My upbringing was very chaotic. You know, I had a lot of emotional baggage, as you can imagine. You know, we had Christoph at an early age. I was 21 when we had him. You know, we've gone through a lot of problems that most people don't go through. But I was able to create it while raising kids. And not having a nanny, not having a driver, not having a babysitter. I mean, I didn't have any of that stuff. So when people hear my story or stories of other women, most often you will find that they pull themselves up and kept their eyes on the vision. And when you do that, you find ways to get there. You find ways to have people help you, whether it's, you know, having a neighbor watch the kids on a Friday morning so you can write on your blog. Or you have, you know, a friend who's going to barter with you for headshots or whatever it is. You find a way as long as the vision is concrete and you know where you're going. The other pieces just fit in. And that's the only thing that I've done. I had a vision and I stuck to it. Listen, I had to sell. I had a Mercedes that was beautiful. Sold that. Got a little Fiat. I had to pull my daughter out of private school to inject money into Femme City. I went maybe a year and a half without getting paid anything. You know, and just putting everything on credit cards. So it has not been easy. And if we share those stories with one another, then it makes us all wake up and say, you know what? I am just like her. I am not any more special than anybody else. I am just like everybody else. I was not born a special way or whatever. I was born exactly like everybody else. It's the vision and the tenacity to just get there.
Yeah, I love that you shared that. I love the vulnerability because people need to hear these kind of stories. I find so many people, you know, would say they love what, you know, you do, or they love what I do, or other women who are successful. But the struggle is that phrase, struggle is real. The struggle is real, but it wasn't pleasant. Okay, girl. Like, I mean, I've had to, you know, I mean, at some point, you know, get rid of all my savings, just go through everything and put it into my nonprofit. And when, you know, when I first began Tiger Lily, I had a full-time job and I was just like, I just jumped out of my job and I had 3 months of savings. Right. And, you know, it wasn't the smartest thing to do, but I just couldn't wait to live, you know, because I was living where I'd been living with breast cancer. And when I had my epiphany, that sense of urgency to start something that would help people and save lives was so pressing to me that I couldn't wait to plan that, you know, 6 months or 9 months or a year. I just jumped. And looking back, I thought maybe I shouldn't have done that, but maybe I was freaking like on chemo and all kinds of other things. But like you, I'm an immigrant. So I came here with, you know, as a refugee. But those things, the struggle of being an immigrant, the struggle of going through war, the struggle of breast cancer, those things, made me, I knew I couldn't fail. Once I had breath in my body and my heart was beating, I would make this successful. And I think that sometimes the struggle and that drive, having had a family where you have challenges and you have to work through stuff, that makes you know that you have the grit to succeed. And it's important to tell other women and men that it's not easy being an entrepreneur. It's not easy to be successful. You know, even what it takes to be mentally strong, to get up in the morning, you know that this all depends on you, right? The funding, the marketing, it's all your ideas. Of course, your team's involved, but a lot of it is you're the visionary. And so I love that you shared that story because when I see you, I see a beautiful, radiant, successful, strong woman. But the reason why I love you too is because I know that behind that woman I see is a lot of struggle, a lot of strength, inner strength that propels you forward. So thank you for, you know, being.
Aww, thank you. That's, yeah. And you know, what's funny is that I think that that's missing from society is that we're so used to, especially now that Instagram and people are seeing like all these fake pictures, you know, where everyone looks beautiful and everyone looks perfect and everyone's driving a Mercedes. Everyone, you know, it's like what it does is it makes others feel insignificant. And when you share the stories and you say, I mean, I'm first generation, you know, Cuban, my dad came to the United States in 1961. So my struggle, like yours coming to a new country was not the same. You know, mine was a little bit more developed because he had been here for already, you know, 15 years when I was born. But when we share those stories, then people are like, oh my gosh, I'm normal. He's just like me. Because they look at someone like you and the same thing, they say, wow, she just woke up and she's just fabulous and everything just falls on her lap. And everything is like, you know, I could never be like that. I could never be as successful as her. And it's not true. It's only when you share the stories that people wake up and say, wow, you know what? I'm going through the same thing. And so, you know what? Those are the steps to get there. That's what I need to do to get to that. It's okay to have struggle. It's okay to have challenges. It's the yin and yang of life.
Yeah. It's funny because, remember I was on, I was asked to be on OWN last
year. Yeah, of course. Do I remember? Do you remember? Yeah.
Well, not to show off.
No, I think it's great. No, I just think it's hilarious. You're like, do you remember that time?
Remember that time when Oprah called me, girl? So what happened once? So, but it was funny because when they called and so I was sitting there talking, just prepping for the show. And I was talking to my daughter about the show and just, you know, all that. And so my daughter goes, Mommy, remember the time when we came home and the lights were off? And I said, yes, and I'm trying to forget it. But I don't want to forget it. And I'm sharing that because that happened to me 2 times, maybe 3 times. But one time it happened, twice, because I was so busy with everything I was doing. My daughter was so young. I was working full time, building the foundation. I forget to pay bills sometimes. I was just overwhelmed. And then one time, honestly, I was putting my money into the charity and building it and trying to juggle. And I just didn't pay. I just, you know, I didn't have any money. I mean, I was like, it was a bad time. It was like, it was a rough time. And I had left my job and I only had 3 months worth of income. And so I'm sharing this because nobody would ever see me and think that, you know, she had her lights turned out or she maybe I was literally down to like, you know, $200 in my account, you know, and I was thinking, how am I going to pay the mortgage? How am I going to pay the bills? But you mentioned having a vision earlier. You mentioned having a vision. And also, you know, I know you have great faith. And so for me, the day the lights were out, I told my daughter, hey, listen, I said, put your hand on your heart. What do you feel? She said, my heart's beating. I said, okay, that's a great thing. We have our hearts are beating. We're breathing. The house is warm. We're going to go get something to eat from down the street. We're going to light some candles and we have each other. You know, so we were fine. And you know, the next day, you know, I paid the bill. And but my point is that I struggled and you struggled. And it wasn't just, you know, it wasn't just a walk in the park. And I want to tell those who are listening that as you're building your business and your network, people are going to see the accomplishments. They're going to see the, you know, when you get into a magazine or, you know, you get into some kind of, you're on TV, but the thing that makes you who you are is the between those times, between the bits, you know, on the stone is what happened when you were struggling and what made you, you know, push forward. And so I love your story. I love your strength. And I love that your tagline is business for your soul. I know we have 2 minutes left because you have a carpool, but tell me, and I have a kid coming in that door in 2 minutes too, but tell me why you picked that tagline and what soul means to your business.
So it's interesting. When we first started thinking about that slogan years ago, I was speaking in Raleigh. They do like an event every holiday season, and I fly in for it and I speak. And so they got to do like a Q&A at the end. And I mentioned that. I said, we're going to start incorporating and talking about spirit and talking about soul. Because when you talk about community, that's what we're talking about. So it's not really religion. It's really about the spirit from one another and how we connect and how we make a difference and how we kind of form this unity. And it had become such a part of who we were that then we trademarked it, business for your soul. And we do retreats about that. And we do, you know, lessons. And because that's really, when you talk about growing your business, everyone has an intention, right? We grow businesses because we have an intention to help others through either our nonprofit work or through yoga or through a hair salon or whatever it is that you have as a business. But the intention is to help others look better, feel better, live life in a better way. And that just seemed like such a natural fit. And I think it also makes others, when they come across our site, they then connect the two. They say, you know what? There is a soul to business. There's that reciprocity that we have to one another where I help you and you help me. There is a connection between the two. And I think when women come to us, then they understand that that's part of who we are. And it may not be for everybody. You know, some people may just feel like I'm more superior. I'm better than everybody. I'm just in it to screw people for money or whatever it is. And, you know, I mean, that's, but that's not who we are. You know, it's really about relationship building and community and impacting the lives of others in a positive way. So anyway, so we bit the bullet, we trademarked it. And so far it's been great.
That's fantastic. Well, you know, I'm all about soul purpose and unicorns and magic and bliss.
So I know. I love that page of yours.
You got me here. Are you on my page?
Of course. Yeah.
Oh, that's so awesome. We have to have another chat because I just really enjoyed this and it went by way too fast.
Totally. Always. This happens to us all the time.
We
need like 5 hours.
We need a whole conference, right?
Exactly.
So can you share with our listeners before you head off, what are your social media taglines and how they can find you?
Sure. You can join us at femc.com. We have a free membership. So if you are interested in learning more or kind of just getting our emails with free classes, check us out there. And you can follow me everywhere. I think everywhere but Snapchat. It's tagged Violet de Ayala. And I will follow back.
Awesome sauce. This was wonderful. So thanks for being on the show. And to all our listeners, until next time, live bliss, love bliss, and be bliss. Talk to y'all soon. Bye for now.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Pure Bliss Show with Mema Carmo. We hope you were inspired by the show. Remember, you're the catalyst that the world has been waiting for. In each moment, live in pure bliss.